What's up, Clipper Nation? Thank you for tuning in. This is Locked On Clippers. As you know, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am solo Chuck Mockler today. Will is taking a sick day. He will be at the game tonight, so not sure how sick he really is. If you're new to the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. We're coming at you Monday through Friday. Usually there's two of us giving you all the local news on the Los Angeles Clippers that you can handle. And some of it, you frankly might not be able to, but that's on you. If you're returning this year, listener, thank you for sticking around. The Clippers are hitting a bit of a rough stretch right now. It's always nice to have people sticking by the team when things aren't going so hot. Tonight, I'm going to be prepping everybody for the Mavs versus Clippers game. We're going to try and stop this losing streak we currently have. Then I'm going to go into our weekly Thursday segment called Thirsty Thursdays, where we kind of break down what we want to see more of. And every now and then we have Edema Thursdays, which is the opposite of thirsty, where things that we are not into so much. And then after that, just going to have a quick NBA wrap-up of some of the action last night. There were a bunch of games, but I'm going to highlight just a few of the more pertinent ones to the Western Conference. Before I get into this game preview for tonight against the Mavs, I want to give a quick shout-out to our new sponsor, Metro Infinity. They're at 821 East Central Ave in Monrovia, just off the 210. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been in business for over 25 years. One of the cooler parts about this dealership, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been to a dealership, it can be, kind of a pain. If you don't like going to the dealership, that is no problem. They will bring your new car and the paperwork to your home or office. Complete the whole dang transaction. You could do it on your lunch break. You could do it when your mother-in-law's over. Flex on anyone you want. Make sure to mention Locked On, and they'll give you another $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti or just a new car in general, please give them a chance to earn your business. You will not regret it. They also have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or MetroInfinity.com. Right now, you can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation, with $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. Don't forget, mention Locked On and get $500 off. So, tonight, the Brave Clippers face the Dallas Mavericks here in Los Angeles, which is good. Really hoping we can stop the skid tonight. Five in a row. If we lose tonight, it would be five losses in a row. That would be kind of rough, given that we play the Red Hot Nuggets on Saturday. I'm hoping this is kind of a get-your-mind-right game. DeAndre Jordan is questionable with the omnipresent illness that is making its way through every single NBA player, apparently. So we're not sure if we're going to get to see him tonight. That would be a big help for us. Last time we played, we dodged Doncic, if you will. He didn't play. We ended up losing that game, which was not fun. So it's going to be interesting to see how we stack up against Doncic, having not played him at all this year. Some quick notes. The Mavs are 2-11 on the road. Let's really hope the atmosphere at the Staples Center will be great tonight. My co-host, William, the Opinion Uptake, will be there. He told me he's going to boo DeAndre Jordan. I'm not sure how I feel about that. How are you guys going to react to DeAndre if you're going to the game? Please let me know. I really hope the atmosphere is good at Staples tonight. I think we're around 28th or 29th in attendance, and most of the people that end up showing up seem to be fans of the other team, which is always fun to deal with, especially when you're watching the game. There's cheers at the entirely wrong time. I think a home atmosphere is really going to help us out. Mavs aren't good on the road. Yeah, we need to get one tonight. I really want to stop this skid. Lou Williams, he's been out with a hamstring injury. He is listed as questionable. Personally, I'm hoping he doesn't play, but the questionable tag is better than just straight out. Luka Bamute and Jerome Robinson are out for tonight. So Lou seems like he's progressing well. I'm going to get into what we need to do to win. Really, the biggest thing all year kind of for the Clippers has been rebounds. Opponents of the Mavericks rank first against the Mavs in total rebounding. So, I mean, if we can't win this rebounding battle with maybe no DeAndre Jordan, who can we out-rebound, you know? I really hope we can crash the glass and get some big boards tonight. Opponents of the Mavs also ranked second in free throws attempted. We did a really good job of this against the Blazers when things weren't going well, especially Gallinari. He wasn't having a good shooting night, and then he kind of leaned on that crutch of just kind of living at the line. So hopefully we can get that going. If DeAndre Jordan plays, I was messaging a podcast host who does a Mavs podcast. He was dreading if DeAndre plays and we can force him to switch on the pick and roll. That's going to be huge for us if we can take advantage of his seemingly laziness. I'm not sure if he's going to be too lazy against the Clippers tonight. He might feel like he has something to prove. You know, who knows? People love getting revenge on their old teams. want to see us close down the passing lanes. We didn't see him last time we played, but Doncic will be playing tonight. He can distribute so damn well. We're going to have to be able to disrupt these opportunities between him and Dennis Smith Jr. We got to be locked in right from the beginning against this team. Doncic has a killer instinct. Dennis Smith Jr. has a killer instinct. These two young guys, if they get going hot, will be really hard to keep up with. Excuse me. They're young. They're fast. Doncic can pass. I mean, he can do pretty much everything. You guys know that. Another thing we should do to maybe help us win, don't let J.J. Barea beat us again. I think he had 25 points last time he played us coming off the bench, which was really disheartening to watch. This new defensive scheme, or maybe lack thereof, that we have only has a few more games, I think, of losing and playing poorly until the fans really start being upset. Rex K has got to get this whole thing figured out. Would be nice to see us coming together more on the defensive end tonight. We'll see. Another thing we can do to win, let Ty Wallace eat some of Bradley's minutes. We know Doc had mentioned he was maybe going to make a change in the starting lineup. We now know he's not going to do that, which kind of sucks. And so I'm not saying Ty Wallace needs to eat all of Bradley's minutes, although you may believe he should. But maybe instead of 29 minutes this game, Bradley only plays 20. And we give 9 more minutes to Ty Wall or even Sendarius out there. Let's just switch something up. I'm going to get into this in a couple minutes when I'm talking about the matchups. But if we're losing the one-on-one matchup between Dennis Smith Jr. And whoever's guarding him and Luka with whoever's guarding him, Avery Bradley's going to be on one of those guys. Let's hope he can shut at least one of them down. Now, what could go wrong tonight? I mean, again, back to the boards issue. If we get sloppy down low and we don't put in a ton of effort and we lose this rebounding battle, we will probably lose this game. DeAndre probably won't play because of the illness, but last time he did, he had 23 boards against us. As a team, they had 64. We had 44. We can't let this happen again. Regardless if DeAndre plays or not, Tobias is going to have to get around 9 or 10 rebounds. He's been really good at that lately. So let's hope he can step that up. Mike Scott recently had 11 boards in a game. I believe he lost that game, but hey, that'd be cool to see him coming off the bench. And Gortat can hopefully outperform his paltry average of 5.8 rebounds a game. Down low is just going to be so crucial tonight. If they don't have their best interior defender, we better feast. We might see some Boban. Maybe? I don't know. Definitely not when Dennis Smith or Doncic is on the floor. I don't think we'll see Boban in that situation. But if they're playing Serge and Powell, I believe, is their other backup center, we might see. This might be a bit of a Boban game. What else could go wrong? We could maybe get hit with a zone. Rick Carlisle does every now and then love, again, a good zone defense. And our offense tends to stagnate around the perimeter against that. I think maybe because guys aren't used to it. We were in a bit of a slump, which we're coming out of. We are missing our best scorer off the bench. But, yeah, if we get hit with a zone and we stagnate around that perimeter, it's going to be bad news. We rank 30th in 3 points attempted. It'd be nice to take more than 25 of those this game since, as I mentioned earlier, the Mavs give up the most, or maybe second most, 3 points attempted in the whole league to their opponents. And then, as always, you know, Doncic or Dennis Smith could just decide to completely put a stranglehold on this game and disrupt our flow any way possible. Harrison Barnes has also been playing very well. I'm a little worried about him. He had a pretty decent game against us last time. I just hope the defense can keep up. Our offense, I'm a little less worried about than I have been in the past couple games. I think Clipper Nation probably kind of agrees with me on that. So it's really going to be on our defense this game to prevent us from having to play down early or something like that. Getting into some key matchups, as we do with every game preview here on Locked On Clippers. Doncic versus Avery Bradley or Shea. So we lost to the Mavs last time without Doncic, which isn't particularly encouraging. Avery Bradley has been in an all-around slump lately. Maybe we can put Shea on him. Maybe his length can disrupt it. I'm not entirely sure. Avery Bradley seems to feed kind of off good defensive play, which hasn't really been there. His offensive play also has not been there. 0 points in the last game. Same with Gortat. So really just shutting Doncic down is going to be key. I mean, he can run the offense. He's a fantastic player. He's rookie of the year. I'm a little worried about this. I'm a little terrified at getting to watch. I mean, I'm excited to watch Doncic play. Just wish it wasn't against the Clippers tonight. Another key matchup is going to be kind of Shea versus himself. He didn't play so well against them last time. He had 8-1-1. Hoping he has some momentum from setting his career high against the Blazers. That was fantastic to watch. But, yeah, he's going to have a big game. Doc mentioned that he is hard on Shea because he knows how great Shea can be. I'm not sure how I totally agree with that philosophy. Maybe just help the guy out. He's still just a rookie. Maybe not just beat him down immediately. But let's hope Shea has a better game. I think he will rise to the occasion. Probably going to see more than 8 points out of him this time. If he plays DeAndre Jordan versus anyone who will guard him, there's a chance if DeAndre's out, we could see the meatball lineup tonight. That, of course, if you're new to the podcast, is any time Danilo Gallinari is playing center. If someone on the Mavs is eating the boards, we are going to be in trouble. Boban only got 1 minute of playing time last time. We could maybe throw multiple looks to kind of throw their center core off. We have to, if DeAndre's out, we have to take advantage of playing against their second and third string centers. We kind of have, I don't even know if we have a technical quote-unquote first string center on this team. You know, we have Gortat, who's bad. We have Trez, who is good in the right matchup in short spurts and great off the bench. And then we have Boban, who's kind of a specialized weapon. So hopefully DeAndre doesn't play. Hopefully if he doesn't play, we can take advantage of all the space that we're going to have down there. A little tepid about that. We'll see. Another key matchup, the Clippers defense versus itself. I brought this up in the what could go wrong situation. So far, the new defensive system has left a lot of us frustrated. It'd be nice to see them get on track. Going to be a tough task against a Doncic-led offense. It would just be nice to kind of see, I guess, what the system could be tonight. I'm not even hoping for a complete shutdown of their offense, like, and only giving up 80 points or something like that, but showing something of kind of the principles of how it's supposed to go down in action. A lot of the times, there's guys standing around, there's guys with their hands on their hips. It's just kind of been overall a little frustrating to watch. Let's hope we can get on track tonight, guys. This is a big game. I really hope Staples Centers is rocking. I know Will will be yelling his head off out there. Let's hope we can get this W. My prediction, Clippers 110, Mavs 99. I think we're going to manage to hold them under 100 points, especially if DeAndre doesn't play. He's going to be eating up boards. We got to win second chance points. We got to shut down Doncic. Let's just hope we can do it, guys. That game is tonight, as I said, at the Staples Center. If you can make it, be loud. Before I get into the Thirsty Thursday section, I want to give a quick heads up. If you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, you need to check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It's all of the podcasts on the Locked On Network aggregated into one. It's great during games, breaking news, and to get just a local perspective on your favorite team. You get the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram story. Yeah, check it out. Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So, welcome to Thirsty Thursdays. That is our second segment every single Thursday of just kind of what we want to see more of and sometimes less of. I personally am thirsty for Trez continuing to crush it off the bench. He seems to have kind of broken out of his slump, which has been huge. Lou is out. I'm assuming he's probably going to be out for the Nuggets game as well. He's missed a few games with that hamstring. They're going to be slow to bring him back, which is good. I think this coincides well with Trez coming out of his slump because it'll be nice to have Trez playing well while Lou kind of gets used to playing again, back to game speed, back to getting into his flow and stuff like that. I think most people listening are very thirsty for Trez to keep crushing. He's been pretty good. His free throws, a little shaky, but, you know, that's going to that'll hopefully get sorted out. I mean, apparently DeAndre was able to sort it out with the Mavs, not when he was with us, but hey, you know, grass is always greener, I guess. Another thing I am thirsty for, just a victory. Aren't we all at this point? I hope we can go into the Nuggets game with some positive vibes and some momentum. I am very tired of these weird, quote-unquote, encouraging losses. After you have two of those encouraging losses, it gets to just be still a loss, is how I would see it. So I'm really hopeful for a victory. This team, you know, they've bounced back well from all the tough play, which has been good. The Mavs are a bit of, you know, kind of not a hot streak, but they are playing a lot better than I think a lot of people thought they were going to. Dirk is back. Let's just get a dub. God, I just want to get a victory. One more thing I am thirsty for, Jerome's foot to be healed. I think we've all kind of been in the dark on this. He has a muscle strain in it. It's between his, like, foot and leg area, which seems like a really tricky issue. I am obviously not a doctor, but this seems like a giant pain to deal with and to try and usher someone back. I think it must be a pretty difficult thing to deal with if Lou Williams is already marked as questionable with a hamstring injury while Jerome is still out with a muscle strain. If you are, I'm sure millions of doctors listen to this show. If you're a foot doctor, please let me know if there's anything more info I need to know. But I'd really like to see him, I mean, hopefully play a lot more this year, be that with the G League or for, you know, the actual Clippers at the Staples Center. It just sucks to see someone's rookie year kind of get wasted because of a nagging injury. I don't mean wasted in a bad way, like it's the team's fault in any way or anything like that. It just sucks for his development. You know, you go through an injury that seemingly shouldn't affect how you play that much. You know, it's a foot strain, which is uncomfortable and obviously, I'm sure, very painful. But, you know, that's not, you know, it's not like a shoulder injury. You can still, if you're Jerome and you're a shooter, you can probably still feel like you can shoot the ball. You know, you want to get out there, get your reps in. He was playing pretty good in the G League. They called him up for a little bit. He hasn't gotten any minutes, really, with the first team. I would just hate to see his rookie year kind of washed away by a nagging injury. He's going to need that time to develop. If Shea wasn't playing so well, this would be a lot harder to deal with, considering we spent a first-round pick on Jerome. I'm thirsty for him to come back. And I just want to see what he can do. You know, we need shooting. We rank dead last in 3 points attempted at a time when that's not really where you want to be if you're a competing team in the playoffs, especially in the West, despite having good shooters. If we added Jerome and he could put in some, you know, constructive minutes and stuff like that for this team, that could really change a pretty big dynamic of this team. You know, if we have Jerome and Mike Scott out there, that's two shooters that other teams would have to respect. In terms of floor spacing and stuff like that. So let's hope Jerome can get back soon. That reminds me, I'm also thirsty for the good version of Mike Scott. I'd like to see him come out tonight, maybe hit more than a couple threes. Maybe if he hits a three, he doesn't immediately get taken out by Doc. That's been kind of frustrating to watch this year. Mike's, he's a great player. Seems like a really good guy. Low-key has a really nice handle. Would be fantastic to see him come out tonight and have a good game off the bench. We're going to absolutely need it. Their bench is not as good as ours. Let's hope we win the bench battle. JJ Barea, if you're listening, please just take it easy on it, on us tonight. Coming up, I'm going to have a quick NBA wrap-up. But first, if you are traveling outside of sunny Los Angeles this holiday season and you need some more winter-appropriate clothing, as I do, I was just in Seattle with like a cotton sweatshirt. That did not go so well for me. Check out Action Heat. They've got a special deal for listeners. Save 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. Check out everything they have to offer. You can also use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout. Save 20%. You'll say toasty warm. They got everything you could possibly need down there. They got Long Johns. I'm from Montana. I know the importance of Long Johns, if you know what I'm saying. Stay toasty warm. We'll enjoy all your outdoor activities. Shout out to Action Heat. Thank you for the sponsorship. So, some pretty... there's one significant... NBA game last night that ended, I think, as everyone was going to predict. The Suns beat the Celtics in Boston 111-103. Fairly incredible for the Suns. I think they're 4-0 since Devin Booker tweeted, "I love Phoenix," which I think is the first time anyone's ever tweeted, "I love Phoenix." Devin Booker had 25, 5, and 8. DeAndre Ayton had 23 and 18, and Kelly Oubre hit a dagger late and blew kisses to the Boston crowd. Genuinely seems like he's enjoying his time in Phoenix. Who knows? Maybe he loves Phoenix too. Kyrie Irving led all scorers with 29 points and added 10 assists. Gordon Hayward continued his rough recovery with just 10 points coming off the bench. Man, the Gordon Hayward situation kind of breaks my heart. The Celtics were set up to really be able to challenge the Raptors as the best team in the East, and now it really feels like it's a lot more open, you know, save for the Raptors, who are just kind of destroying everybody. It's funny to see the Suns playing well. I hope they're doing well. DeAndre Ayton is getting quite a bit of hate for kind of his play style, and maybe he has kind of quote-unquote empty stats or something like that, but I think right now for the Suns, it's like, just let them live, you know? They've had such a rough go of it so far. Pretty cool to see them beat the Celtics. Also adds a whole wrench in the Celtics' existence. You really got to question yourself when a team as good as the Celtics, with pieces as good as the Celtics, is losing to the Suns at home, and Kelly Oubre is disrespecting you by blowing kisses to the crowd. Shout out to Kelly Oubre for that move. I respect the pettiness 100%. The Rockets blasted the Warriors 136-118. Harden led everybody with 35 points and added 9 assists. PJ Tucker and Clint Capela combined for 23 boards, and Chris Paul had 21 points and 8 dimes. Trevor Ariza had 15 points for his new slash old club, but he did go 1 of 8 from 3. That's, you know, shades of the Western Conference Finals right there. Beal had 28. John Wall added a healthy 18 points and 12 assists. The Rockets have won 5 in a row and might be back-ish, kind of. I don't know. They're playing with a lot of confidence. That Rockets team really kind of runs on confidence, especially Harden and CP3. So they're just another goddamn good team in the West that we got to deal with. I'm tired of these good teams in the West. Also, shout out to Wizards Twitter, one of the more active NBA Twitter fandoms. A lot of good takes on there. A lot of takes in general. A lot of good takes for sure. Another large game. Utah took down the Warriors 108 to 103. Hell yeah. Way to go. Thank you, Jazz. Can't believe... When's the last time a team that put up 68 points also beat the defending champion? That's pretty incredible. I don't think that's ever happened. If you're fact-checking me out there, let me know. My intern's gone today. Joe Ingles led the Jazz with only 20 points, but they got a ton of contributions from other people. Gobert and Donovan Mitchell each had 17. Jay Crowder had 18 off the bench. Really all-around effort from Utah to take down the evil empire that is the Warriors. Steph led everybody with 32 points. Durant had 30. Klay had 12. No one else had more than 8, which is not good. Their bench combined for 17 points. Are the Warriors... So my question, I guess, is are the Warriors more beatable this year, or are we just... Are they just waiting for the All-Star break to kind of flip a switch and then kind of just tell everyone to shut up? DeMarcus Cousins is close-ish to coming back, so it's going to be interesting to see how the team looks after that. Draymond Green is not having a good year at all. I don't know. It's nice to see them lose. I still think they might be the number one seed in the West based on pure talent. I don't know. It's just, you know, kind of concerning when Steph has 32, Durant has 30, and then they still only score 103 points. You know, that's got to be disconcerting if you are the Warriors or a fan of the Warriors. I'm sure they got a lot of new ones out there. Guys, that about does it for Solo Chuck Mockler. Thank you for tuning in today on Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are here 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Going to be coming at you maybe with a live stream tomorrow. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens. Will and I will both be back tomorrow. What we have for you tomorrow is we will be recapping the hopeful victory against the Mavs, prepping you for the looming showdown against the Hot Nuggets. Hot Nuggets, man, that just doesn't sound right. The looming showdown against the Hot Nuggets on Saturday. Taking a look at the Pacific Division power structure, hasn't changed too much, except maybe the Suns are on top now after that win against the Celtics, who knows. And playing everyone's favorite game, love, marry, or kill. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day, you guys.